ओम मे ब्रह्मन प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ मे ब्रह्मन बिस्टव अपॉन अस बोथ द फ्रूट ऑफ नॉलेज मे वी बोथ अपटेन द एनर्जी टू एक्वायर नॉलेज मे व्हाट वी बोथ स्टडी रिवील द ट्रूथ मे वी चेरिश नो इल फीलिंग टुवर्ड ईच अदर ओम पीस 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 Bhakti Yoga of Swami Vivekananda. Swamiji asks this question or makes us ask, what is the goal of Bhakti Yoga, the path of devotion? And three answers have been given. One, to develop bhakti, to get more devotion. Second, realize God. Third, to obtain self-knowledge. So all these three are three different expressions, but meaning the same thing. So what is God realization? Why do we use the word God? As soon as a devotee starts his spiritual practice, the first thing he has to clarify is what does he exactly mean by God? This question may seem to be absolutely useless. After all, don't we know what God is? From childhood we have been hearing about God, talking about God, thinking about God. Why do we need to discuss this question? Just open your eyes and look what is happening in this world. All in the name of God, fighting, killing, and all those things. Why does this happen? Because we do not sit down and make clear to ourselves what exactly we mean by God. So that is the question which Swami Vivekananda takes up. The philosophy of Ishvara. That is, what is the nature of God? And the very first answer, he always, Swami Vivekananda, takes things from the scriptures. Where from do we get our knowledge? From the scriptures. Why? Because God is something which we cannot see, hear, touch, taste, smell. We cannot get any information about him through these five ordinary sense organs. And therefore, the only option is for us to hear from somebody who claims that he has seen God. Vedanta is very rational. How do you know that the other person who is telling you that he has seen God? Vedanta gives a very clear answer. There is no guarantee what he says is absolutely right. So, well, you are a blind man, you don't know. You have trust in him and follow the path he shows you. And of course, if you reach your destination, thank your stars. And if you happen to fall into a well, thank your stars. There is no other way. That is why faith is the only way. So Swamiji takes up from the scriptures. You know, there are in this world arguments for and against God. There was a meeting of atheists going on. Whole day they were talking nothing but about God, how he doesn't exist. One of the speakers came to talk about God and he happened to sneeze. All the audience immediately respond, God bless you. So, it is as foolish to try to prove God, so foolish also try to disprove him. Because there is no way you can do that. If you know, you know. If you do not know, you do not know. There is no halfway line in between. Now this is also equally applicable to knowledge. either you have knowledge or you do not have knowledge. You have only information. Now, how wonderful it is, this statement is, let me give an illustration. Sri Ramakrishna used to say many times, if you want to know about something, then the first thing, of course, will be you will be hearing about it or reading about it. But even better than reading about it is to see something. But even better than seeing is to actually experience that thing. So, let me give you the illustration. Suppose somebody has never heard about sugar. It is the most wonderful thing, sweetest thing. He knows about it. Suddenly he comes across a book all about sugar and he has some knowledge. Then, to his great good fortune, somebody actually brings some sugar and shows it to him. Puts it in front of his nose. This is called sugar. Just sit back and say, how much knowledge is he going to gain about sugar? He has heard about it. He is also seeing it right in front of his eyes. Do you think he will have any idea about sugar? Even by seeing it, for all that he knows, it could be a grain of salt. But take one grain of sugar, put it on his tongue. Then what happens? He knows exactly what sugar is. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So what is Sri Ramakrishna telling us? Not to speak of God, anything. As you may think, oh Swami, you are going to the other extreme. Of course, we are seeing you. We know very well about you. Sometimes my devotees know more about me than I know about myself. So only, you know, this is the problem with seeing, you know, young man and young woman see each other and they think they know very well, they fall in love, I cannot live without you for, and after 5 minutes, I cannot live with you. Only when they start living together, have the direct experience, they understand what is the nature of the other person, each other, both. So, any knowledge we want, it must be directly experienceable. Sri Ramakrishna is putting this marvelous statement through this small illustration that it is better to read, but better than reading is seeing, better than seeing is tasting. So we can hear about God, we can even see God, and we can experience God. What is the difference between seeing God and experiencing God? Experiencing God means becoming one with God. Seeing God, see, there are so many saints who have seen God, but their behavior is still, it lacks something, there is something more desirable in their behavior. But one becomes God, full stop. So, we have to, Swami Vivekananda takes from the scriptures, because that is the only authority for us. And in the very beginning he says, Janmadyasya yataha, as you know, Vedanta is based on triple scriptures, three types of scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Brahma Sutras. You don't need to go into these names and details. The point is, he from whom this universe has come, in whom it lives, and unto whom it returns, that is called Ishvara or God. That is the normal knowledge we have about God. There is a God. So, what is his nature? He is not an object like some other object. He from whom this whole universe has come. In whom this universe subsists. and unto whom it again returns. Take the example of a bubble. A bubble comes out of the ocean and it remains there for some time on the water. And when it bursts, where does it go? Goes back to its cause. What is the point here? The point is, the effect is not different from the cause. The cause is the subtle effect, and the effect is the gross cause. They are completely one. And therefore, this universe also must be God, if it has come out from God, or if it is a manifestation of God, it must be God. And if it is God, where does it go? It has to go back to Him only. There is no other choice. So what is Swamiji telling through this beautiful quotation? We have all come from God, and we subsist in God, and we return unto God. There is no choice. Why is there no choice? I gave an illustration in my last class. Supposing there is an apple seed and you put it in the ground and the plant comes out. And plant comes out means it becomes manifested. And then you ask the seed, what would you like to become? Because you have a wonderful choice. Would you like to be a mango tree? Would you like to be a banana tree? Or would you like to be a jackfruit tree? Or a grape plant? What do you want? Do you think an apple seed has any choice? It has no choice, because that is its nature, to become an apple tree. So if it is true that this whole universe has come out of God, if it is true that we are all subsisting in God, we cannot live apart from God, then where do we go? Where does the effect go? When the effect disappears, where does it go? It goes back to its cause only. What we call death is not non-existence. What we call death is the effect going back into its causal state. And again, when the cause becomes effect, this is what is called creation. And every religion admits it. So what Swamiji is driving at is, who is God? It is our real nature. And therefore, we have no choice but to manifest our real divinity. That is what God really is. This is philosophy. Of course, I will just finish with one small point, which is not very important. It is believed that when a man realizes God, then he becomes one with God. And here we have to remember the definition Swamiji particularly gives, that God is the creator, maintainer and destroyer. What is his function? Creation, maintenance and destruction. So when a person, when any one of us, through spiritual practice, we become one with God. Because as I said, what is God realization? Go back to the cause. We manifest our divinity. Then we become God, isn't it? Do we get the powers of creation, maintenance and destruction? This is a big doubt that has come in the scriptures, and they have to deal. So the answer given is, excepting for the powers of creation, maintenance or destruction, everything else you will enjoy along with God. Why not the powers of creation, etc.? Well, the answer given is, suppose you want to create something and I don't like you, I would like to destroy. Then there will be conflict. This is what an ordinary mind thinks, there is going to be conflict. But the answer given in the scriptures is, first of all, when you become one with God, there is no separate you to say that I would go against the wishes of God and then want to create something. These problems crop up into our minds because we read too many of these mythologies, Puranas. There is the story of Vishwamitra, do you remember that? That, you know, there was a king who wanted to perform a sacrifice. And this king was not a good king. He was a wicked man. But he wanted to go to heaven. And so he wanted to perform a sacrifice. Because in ancient times, Hindus believed that through certain types of fire sacrifices or special types of rites connected with fire, homa, they can go to heaven. So this king asked some priests, great sages, why don't you perform the sacrifice, these rites for me? And they refused because he was a wicked man and they know that he has no right to go to heaven. So everybody refused him. What should he do? So he approached Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra asked, what do you want me to do? Well, why don't you perform this sacrifice? Vishwamitra was about to refuse. Then he asked, why don't you approach other sages like Vasishtha? Now, Vishwamitra and Vasishtha were rivals. So, the king replied, I already approached Vasishtha and he refused to perform it for me. Vishwamitra's ear has risen. What? He refused? If he refuses, I accept it. He was a great sage. So, he performed. And then you see, as he was uttering the mantras, the throne, the king, along with his throne, started to rise bodily to go into heaven. But you know, he was a wicked person. So as soon as the throne reached the doors of Indra or heaven, and Indra didn't like it, he gave one big kick. So the throne started falling down again onto the earth. In Hindu mythologies are marvelous, you know, you will enjoy them. So this king started, oh Vishwamitra, save me, Indra kicked me down, I am falling down. So Vishwamitra said, what? How dare this Indra oppose my wishes? I will create a special heaven for you. So with his wish, created a heaven. This is called Trishanku Swarga. Indian mythology. So there are so many stories like that a spiritually advanced person will have tremendous powers. 8 supernatural powers like becoming very thin, don't need to, you know, give up food. Whenever you want, you can become very thin. Your luggage also probably could become thin. 50 kg might become 23 kg so that you can carry it. When you reach the other destination, it will become normal again. So, the answer given is, accepting for the powers of creation, maintenance or destruction, the aspirant becomes one with God and enjoys. But the rational and more acceptable answer to this is, when a devotee surrenders himself to God, he will have no other wish excepting the will of the divine. He surrenders himself completely. This is one thing. Another thing is, why should there be any wishes in the minds of a person who realizes God? He is in bliss. Such unimaginable bliss. Do you think that he would like to come to this world and then play and do all those things? He doesn't want to come down at all. So apart from that, now we have to come back to our subject. Man becomes one with God, that means he manifests his full divinity, or he simply recognizes that I am the divine, I am the infinite. And thereafter there is no problem for him, no unhappiness for him, he is in eternal bliss. And we all want that eternal bliss. We use different terminology, joy, pleasure, happiness, joy, and then bliss. Fundamentally, is there any difference between all these words? Yes, there is. There are two kinds of happiness. That is, pleasure and happiness and joy belong to this world, world of duality. And the other kind is called ananda or bliss. What is the fundamental difference between these two? Pleasure or happiness or joy, they must have a cause from outside themselves. I eat a sweet, I get a little bit of pleasure. Or I eat sweets for several days, I get happiness. Or I see a beautiful scene, I read a wonderful poem, or I hear a marvelous music, piece of music, and I'm transported in joy, raptures. But all these things have a cause outside. As soon as that cause comes to an end, the effect also comes to an end. What is ananda? Ananda has no outside cause. It itself is the cause, it itself is the effect. An example, when you are in deep sleep called sushupti, there is neither pleasure nor pain, neither happiness nor unhappiness, neither joy nor grief. It is a state of perfect peace. But this is not a perfect example, because in sushupti, that is the Sanskrit word for deep sleep, you do not know that you are in sushupti. Only when you wake up, you come to know, yes, I was in sushupti. But when a person enters into the samadhi state, then he knows, I am perfectly blissful, I am infinite, and I am perfect. Therefore, I have no desires left. All the happiness, all the bliss is mine. This is the fundamental difference. So, we all want that bliss, infinite bliss. And God is another name for that infinite bliss. So, with this, we'll come to this discussion about why we should have a correct idea of God. And what concepts Vedanta has about God. As I mentioned, this discussion is very, very important for many reasons. One reason is personal, another reason is social. If we have a wrong concept about God, we will not progress in spiritual life, and we also cause tremendous grief in the society in which we are living. I need not mention, but I will give you two examples just to make the point clear. Today, there is a lot of bloodshed is going on, not only between various religions, but between various sects of the same religion. What is the fundamental problem? The problem is, one problem would be that they have no correct concept of God. And they are fighting, my God is superior to your God. That's one example. Fanatics, for example, they never accept that other people are also calling on the same God, and other people are also trying to advance towards God. They think unless one particular name is used, one particular form is imagined, one type of worship is advocated, then others will go to hell. I am not talking about olden times. I am not even talking about 50 years back. I am talking right now. Just a few months back, one of our devotees in America happened to be traveling in a plane and unfortunately sat with a fundamentalist minister, Christian priest. And they started to having a friendly discussion. And the priest, young priest, educated man, will not admit that other religions have any value. He said, unless a person becomes a Christian, he has no hope of salvation. Not only that, he will go to the other place. Yeah. You know, there was a bishop, famous bishop in England. And he was in bitter controversy with another famous man who never believed in God. And this bishop was very sick, very ill, and he was not seeing even his own people, only those who are very close to him, he used to allow them. So one day, this his enemy, who never believed in God, and who always used to controvert whatever the bishop says, he will say the opposite thing. So he came to see him. Somebody informed the bishop, your bitterest critic has come to see you. Of course, they understood. They thought that since the bishop is not seeing anybody else, where is the question of his seeing and his bitterest enemy at that time? But to their great shock, the bishop said, let him come, I will see him immediately. So he came, this man appreciated, said, I appreciate your gesture, even though you are not seeing your own people. You have made time to see me, but why did you do it? You know, the bishop is a very interesting man. Immediately he said, you know, I'm going to die. This may be the last time I see you, because you'll be in the other place. I can see my friends later on. So there are people, fanatics, who really believe, and that's why they are able to give up their life, that other people belonging to other faiths, they are not valuable. Do they understand anything about God? This is one reason. Second is, if anybody believes that we are all going, we have correct concept of God, would they like to convert other people into their religion by force? They will never be able to do it. Even now conversion is going on by hook or crook or bribery or whatever, enticing people. In Andhra Pradesh, in India, there is one Christian chief minister, it seems. He will give 100,000 rupees for any Hindu who would become a Christian. This information came too late for me. I would have taken advantage of it. So, we must have a correct understanding about God. For spiritual progress, it is absolutely important, before you take one step, sit down and think, what is my idea of God? So, first thing that we have to know, as I have already mentioned, can never have any idea about God until we become God. There is a very beautiful statement in Sanskrit. You know, we do this puja every day. Hindus are great ritualists. It's called puja. Worship is called puja in Sanskrit. What is the philosophy of this worship? So it has been expressed in a most pithy way in Sanskrit language. Devo bhutva devam yajet. One should worship God, or one can worship God only when one becomes God. Because what is true worship is to become God-like. That is the goal of worship, and then only true worship will come. Why? Because if I have to appreciate your worth, suppose you are a great maestro, I am a small musician, how much can I appreciate you? As much as my capacity allows me. But is that the end of your greatness? Only when I become equivalent to you, then I can appreciate you what you are. Is it not? Similarly, instead of the word worship, substitute it with another word, love. We use the word love. In Sanskrit it is called bhakti. How can I love you, or when can I truly love you? When I become one with you. When I forget my I-ness, then only I can truly love you. Until that time, there is some barrier. However close we might be, there is some barrier is there. That is why the non-dual philosophy is a most rational philosophy. There is also an idea in Vedanta, what is called, how do we get knowledge? It is not relevant for our discussion, but it is good to know about it. Knowledge becomes complete when we become one with the object. Until then, we will not have complete knowledge. The nearer we are, the more knowledge. When we become completely one, then our knowledge will be complete. Not only with regard to God, with regard to any object in this world. If you want to know, if you want to have knowledge of God, then you must become God. But if you want to have knowledge of a dog, you must, then only you will have correct knowledge of. Otherwise, how do you know? What is the dog thinking about you? So, this is the first thing. What is it? We can have correct understanding or concept about God, or knowledge about God, only when we become one with God. Having taken this for granted, the next point is that whatever we think about God, or for that matter about anything else, is only an idea or a concept about God or about anything. So, when two people who have not realized God, and realized people will not have time to quarrel, when two people are quarreling about God, are they quarreling about God? No, they are quarreling about their ideas of God. I have this idea, you have this idea. Let us decide whose idea is better. Sometimes, you know, the weak person's idea may be better. But if the person is very strong, opponent is very strong, in tribal people used to decide whose God is better, superior. Let us have a fight. If I win, my God is superior. And if you win, your God is superior. We have not changed. This is what we are trying to do. Those who have got what is media or propagating machine, advantage of that, that person's idea of God spreads like anything. This is the simple fact. So the second point is, all that we can know about God is our own thoughts, our own limited concepts about God. And it has nothing to do with God. A concept is not God. God is God, that's all. Concept is our idea. It is like a reflection in a mirror. That is all. If our minds, which act like a mirror, if our minds are pure, then the reflection is very near to the original. If our minds are impure, the more impure, the more distorted our ideas about God. So, we can only have concepts about God, so we are only quarreling about God with our concepts. It is very vital that we must have a right concept of God. Why is it so necessary? Because our concept of God affects our life. How does it affect? It affects us in two ways. Let me deal with it. Suppose I have the concept that my God, means my concept of God, is the only right concept. And with all my goodwill, what do I try to do? I try to convince the others that this is the only way, you are wrong about it, and you don't know much about it, you are a good man, I am even better than man than you, so I am trying for your own good, I am trying to tell you, you change your concept, accept my concept. This disrupts. And these quarrels happen in families, suppose, especially Hindu families. Suppose somebody is worshipping Vishnu, another is worshipping Shakti, another is worshipping Ganesha, another is worshipping Garuda, another is worshipping a banyan tree. So, what do we do if somebody is worshipping a banyan tree? What a stupid fellow. He has no intelligence. I worship Ramakrishna. I am very intelligent. That's the point. We completely miss the point. What is the point? If by worshipping a banyan tree, that person's life is more peaceful, more happy, more kind, compassionate. And by worshipping Ramakrishna, if I become selfish, arrogant, proud, whose worship is more fruitful? It is not what we think, but what happens to us as a result of our concept. That determines the superiority or inferiority of our concept about God. So that is why Jesus Christ saying, by a tree is known by its fruits. What are the fruits of religion and spirituality? Sweetness, love, compassion, sympathy, service. These are the some of the fruits that we exhibit, or the saints exhibit in life. That is how we know who is a saint. Also, this is, I am talking in a social way. Personally, how does it affect? There is a psychological law that we become what we think. Let me give you an example. Suppose you are not very happy, not very unhappy also, and you go to the shrine and you sit for meditation, and then you come out and now you are very angry, very frustrated, very unhappy. Right? What is your concept of God? After all, you claim that you are meditating on God. What are you thinking about God? God is frustrated person. God is unhappy being. Is it not? You were better before you started thinking about God. Now you have become worse. Another example also I will give you. This is a real example. You know, Vedanta tells this truth, that after all it is we think about God, it is our thought, our concept. And if we do not have right concept, then it affects our life. That is the point we are making. So it could be any goddess, it doesn't matter. This is what happens. So there was a character called Haladhari. You know, Sri Ramakrishna had worshipped Mother Kali and attained to perfection. You all know that. So after a time has come, Sri Ramakrishna could not continue his worship because he is seeing God everywhere. There was no need for him anymore for these rituals. So one day he said, Haladhari will do. Haladhari was his cousin, elder cousin brother. He said, Haladhari will do. Now this Haladhari had a very bad concept about Mother Kali. And many people have this bad concept about Mother Kali. A practical example would be, if a Hindu wants to go and build a temple for Rama or Krishna and approach for donations from Hindu devotees, they would, some of them will give a little, some of them will outright refuse. But if the same person goes and says, I am building a temple for Mother Kali, will you give donation or not? Immediately the donation will come out. Why? Because they are afraid that Mother Kali with her sword is going to be a good blow. That is their concept of Mother Kali. So this Haladhari had this concept, Mother Kali is cruel, she is bloodthirsty, she demands all kinds of, you know, sacrifices, goats and even human beings. There are people, I will come to that. So, reluctantly he accepted the worship. Half-heartedly he did the worship. And one day he came to Sri Ramakrishna and said, I will not do any more this worship. What happened? Well, the mother appeared to me in her ferocious form. And she was very angry with me and she told me, you have not worshipped me properly, I will kill your son. And after a few days, this man's son had died. So, what was the concept of Haladhari about Mother Kali? That she was bloodthirsty. She is generally, you know, these dacoits used to worship Mother Kali. I will come to that point shortly. He had that preconceived, very bad idea about Mother Kali. Vishnu, very sattvic. Shiva, all right, acceptable. Kali, completely unacceptable. Now, see the response also. With that type of mind, he called on God. This is Kali, Divine Mother, God, these are all words. That being whom he should have had a correct concept. He didn't have. The result was just what he expected, he got back. Yes, she became ferocious and she killed. So that is what happens. Now coming back, our concept of God affects our lives, and the type of God we worship also depends upon our concepts that we have about him or our lifestyle. What is this? Supposing there is a dacoit. He is cruel. He is merciless. And he is selfish. He doesn't hesitate to kill people. Suppose he has faith in God. He also must have a concept of God. What do you think will be his concept of God? That is why the dacoits, you know, they would not choose Vishnu. Because Vishnu is too mild. Not good enough to kill anybody. But Kali is my God. The proper God, idea of God. That is why dacoits used to, you know, they take Mother Kali's name and then go and kill. So, what are the points I am trying to make? That even if we are good, if we do not formulate a correct concept about God, it will slowly bring about a change in us. Because we are thinking certain concepts. Though we are giving the name God, there is unhappiness, frustration, and disappointment. These are the ideas we are thinking deeply. So what happens? We acquire those qualities. On the other hand, if our lifestyle is of a certain type, we will be forced to think of God in those lines. This is the psychology. Supposing a very loving person and he doesn't know anything about God. Suppose he is told, think about God. How do you think he will think about God? He will think a loving God because that is his nature. He cannot go against his nature. A peaceful person's God will be a peaceful God. So it affects both ways. Our concepts are influenced by our lifestyle. And when we think of God in a particular way, that concept also affects us. This is why Swami Brahmananda used to say that when you go to a shrine and sit for meditation on God, first of all sit quietly. Then imagine God is looking at you with great love, with great compassion. He is very pleased with you. He is only ready to bestow all his grace upon you. Have this right concept. Then your meditation will be in the right directions. That is why we are advised, when you are angry or in a negative mood, don't enter into the shrine room. Or in Swami Vivekananda's words, if you have dyspepsia, don't come out of your room and infect the whole world with your stupid concepts. Now, you know, in the life of Holy Mother, at the dacoits, she confronted dacoits. Do you know that when she was coming to meet Sri Ramakrishna? Now, when they confronted her, it is said that she addressed them as Baba. Why did she do that? Even though, you know, you cannot address dacoit as a Baba. But she addressed him. Why? Because in her eyes, any man is like a father or like a son. That was her attitude. And it was not a insincere, what is called, I love you like that. No, it is really, she meant it. What was the response from the other side? It is said that he had seen Mother Kali in Holy Mother. Now, why I am mentioning specially this one? Sri Ramakrishna used to say that Holy Mother is my blissful divine mother, Ananda Mahima. Swami Vivekananda used to say she is Bagala in the guise of Saraswati. And these dacoits had seen Holy Mother as Mother Kali. They could have seen her as Saraswati. They could have seen her as... And Holy Mother's mother had a vision of Lakshmi when before the birth of Sharada Devi. So different devotees had visualized or had visions of Holy Mother as Saraswati, as Lakshmi, as Shikali, as Durga, as Jagadamba. I'll give an incident. There was a one of the disciples of Holy Mother, and he was a homeopathic doctor in Bankura. So one day, once Holy Mother was sick, or Radhu was sick, I think Holy Mother was sick, then they happened to go to Bankura to get treatment from this son of hers, and there was a sevak who was accompanying Holy Mother to serve her. And one day, Mother was sitting, she was emaciated. Her feet were like, you know, black and like bones, dry. And she looked like an old woman, you see, like an old woman's legs. So he was sitting in the legs and putting a little oil and massaging Holy Mother. And he was thinking that I always used to read about God, Goddess, Mother, Divine Mother, with a beautiful lotus-like pink. So why am I seeing like an old woman's this feet? As he was thinking like that, suddenly he had like an electric shock. He saw they were the feet of an 18-year young girl, beautiful pink and so soft, so delicate, light is pouring out from the feet. And he was in such a shock that he fell unconscious. After a few minutes, he found Mother was passing her hand on his back. "Why, what happened to you? Get up," like that. Then he got up. Then he looked at her feet. Again, the same old feet. So different people had different visions from the same Holy Mother, like different devotees had different visions of Sri Ramakrishna. You know that Madhur Babu saw him as Shiva and Kali. Swami Vivekananda saw Radhika Gopi in Sri Ramakrishna. And Williams, he had seen Jesus Christ. And other devotees had seen in him various gods. That is why Sri Ramakrishna is considered Sarva Deva Devi Swarupa. Anyway, for our subject, what is the point? Why did these dacoits had a vision of Mother Kali and not any other form of the Divine Mother? Why? Because their lifestyle was like that. First of all, you know, dacoits used to consider Kali is their tutelary deity. Without taking her name, they would not start their business of killing other people or robbing. And their nature has become like that. And therefore, if they have a vision of God, they must have only that type of vision which suits their very nature. Suppose Mother appeared to be a very peaceful deity. Do you think they will ever have that kind of vision? They will not have. Why? Because their mindset will never assume that form. After all, when we have a vision, what happens? We must have some right understanding what is a vision. A vision is not something which appears outside us, have nothing to do with us. It is our own idea becomes, as it were, most marvelous. It becomes intense. It takes on a form. It becomes embodied. Don't ever have the idea again, "Oh, this is a vision, then after all, only my own imagination, or is there a reality?" No. It is the reality, but expressing through our mindset. Because the only way we can know about God is through our own mind. Are you with me? Suppose you are seeing me. Are you seeing me, or are you seeing my reflection in your minds? You think you are seeing me, isn't it? No. You are watching a football in front of your TV. Are you there in Germany, or are you there in Bornand? Our mind, whatever information goes through our five sense organs, it is organized, made it coherent whole, and presented by the mind to whoever is in front of that mind. So even a vision also is what happens, that beautiful concepts we have been thinking for a long time, it comes to life. Idea belongs to the mind, but the life of that idea belongs to the pure consciousness. That is called a vision. A vision is a direct experience of pure consciousness, but through the media of an idea. Vishnu, Saraswati, these are all ideas. These are not objects. So, what is the point we are making? Our ideas about God influence our lives. And again, our lifestyle also influences our concepts of God. Let me give one more example to make this point very clear. Suppose there is a civilized person. He is very peaceful, he is quite content, he enjoys life, he has music, he has art, he has science, he has everything. What would be his concept of God? Just imagine. Suppose there is a tribal person living in a hovel. With great difficulty he is eking out his life, he has to kill animals and he has to fight for his survival. And he doesn't know anything about music or this or that or anything. What we call the civilized persons, what he knows. What would you think will be his idea of God? Is the point clear? He cannot help because that is all he has. Or to put it a little more funnily so that this idea will go enter into our head. Imagine there is a village, and in that village everybody is one-eyed and very ugly. One-eyed, one-legged, one-handed and very ugly. Suppose an artist is born among them and he has to depict the most beautiful person. What would you think he will draw? After all, from birth his experience is only what he is seeing. Do you think that he will depict a white European with white skin and all that? He would only depict what he knows, his own experience. He can increase his imagination. That's one. Ant was asked, "Do you believe in God?" He said, "Surely I believe in God." "And do you think that your ant God is like you, like another ant like you?" And that ant became very angry. "Certainly not. I have only one sting. He has got two stings." You know, this is the most wonderful illustration. So we have to be very careful before you take to God, call on God, pray to God. You must have right concept of God. Now that we have clarified these two points, one, God cannot be known unless we become God. Second, whatever ideas we have about God is only our own particular concepts about God, but we can have better concepts about God through scriptures, through the teachings of great people and through our life experiences. So there are, Vedanta has three such concepts about God, about which I will speak in my next class in a little more detail, but to give an introduction to it. There are three concepts about God. Please keep this in mind. I am not talking about God. I am talking about concepts about God. The highest concept as expressed in our Upanishads is that He is beyond mind and speech. Whatever you say about Him is a limitation. Therefore, they are forced to use a peculiar expression of language in the form of neti, neti, not this, not this. There are also they came down in this first class concept, highest type of concept about God. They have come down a little from that. They also used positive expressions, but they have used it. Even that expressions are far too high for us. What is that? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. God is truth, consciousness, infinitude, or in mythological language, Sat Chit Ananda. This is not attributes about God, mind you. Though it is a positive description, it is no description. It is only to give us some handhold. It is a point, it is said, it is a point, like a sign. That's all. It is not characteristic of God. I will clarify this point in my next class. Vedanta is very deep. This concept of highest concept is beyond us. Beyond, only when we become one with God, we can have correct concept about God. Then what is the point in having even this highest concept about God? To prevent us from having a wrong idea about God. That's all. It is only to say you have not yet reached, but this is the right direction. It is only pointer in the right direction. The second concept, next highest concept of God, is God is without any form, but with infinite auspicious qualities. This is what Semitic religions usually believe, especially Islam. God is without any form, but he has got, he is the creator, he is the maintainer, he is loving, merciful, and this and that, 150 qualities, all good qualities. What about the bad qualities? That also point we will discuss about next time. The third lowest concept of God is that God is with form, he has infinite number of forms, he has infinite number of names, he has infinite number of qualities. Now why these three concepts? And or have we any choice and say, I would like to pick up this concept of God and I will think about God in that? No, we do not have any choice. If we think we are having form, and when we experience the world also as having forms, we have no choice but to think of God in terms of name and form. In other words, as long as we have body consciousness, we cannot think of God as other than him in terms of body. But there are people who live in the realm of ideas, or identify themselves with the mind. When they are in that state, then they will think of God not with any particular form, but with beautiful thoughts. These are called auspicious qualities. And they need not have these names and forms. They can do with pure qualities. But when one goes even beyond the body and mind concept, then only, if they are asked, what is your experience of God? They say, is God like this? No. Is God like that? No. These are the three different states of consciousness in which we live, depending upon which state of consciousness. Is it body consciousness? Is it ideational consciousness? Or is it beyond body and mind? Our concept of God also differs. Now, it is hierarchical. In the sense, we start with the names and forms and qualities, progress into no name, no form, but qualities, and go beyond and say, God is beyond name, form, and other things. So we have no choice. But within this, again, we must have a correct concept of God. So Vedanta has these three concepts of God, and I will deal in my next class the subject in a little more detail, and then we will proceed further on. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.